Text 54. Yes, Twindra Gopa Matavendra Maho Sukarma Bandan Rupa Falabhajana Mata Noti Karamani Nirdahati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who burns up to their roots all fruitive activities of those who are imbued with devotion and impartially ordains for each the due enjoyment of the fruits of one's activities, of all those who walk in the path of work, in accordance with the chain of their previously performed works, no less in the case of the tiny insect that bears the name of Indragopa than in that of Indra, the king of the Devas.
Purport. God impartially induces the fallen souls to act in a way that is consequent on the deeds of their previous births and enjoy the fruition of their labors. But out of his great mercy to his devotees, he purges out by the fire of ordeal the root of all karma, namely ignorance and evil desires. In other words, the Lord is impartial in awarding conditioned souls the fruits of their karma according to their previous actions. He awards their future engagements. But for devotees, he has a little special mercy. Karma, though without beginning, is still perishable or destructible. The karma of those who work with the hope of enjoying the fruits of their labors becomes everlasting and endless and is never destroyed. In other words, karmis, once a karmi, always a karmi. The function of sannyas is also a sort of karma befitting an ashram, and is not pleasant to Krishna when it aims at liberation. In other words, that the desire for emancipation. So it's called karma sannyas, and it's said in Kali Yuga, sannyas is forbidden, and specifically means karma sannyas. One is not permitted to take karma sannyas where they have personal desire, but to take sannyas to serve the cause of the Lord and please the Lord by preaching His glories. It's called bhakti sannyas. That can be done in any age. There's no injunction against that. They also receive fruition of their karma, and even if it be disinterested, their karma ends in Atma Ramata. It's a misspelling there. It should be Atma Ramata. In other words, merging in the bliss of Brahman. In other words, if a sannyas hankers for the fruits of liberation, his observance of sannyas cannot please Krishna or gain his grace. Sannyas accrues the fruits of their karma even when their actions, they're trying to become desireless. You know, their sannyasis are trying to renounce actions, but they still have desire. That is, they attain the self-pleasure, which is Atma Ramata, which means the paltry fruit of self-satisfaction. So even sannyas is condemned because it's within the realm of karma. But those who are pure devotees always serve Krishna by gratifying his senses, forsaking all attempts of karma and jnana, and being free from all personal desires except that of serving Krishna. Krishna has fully destroyed the karma, its desires, and nescience of those devotees. It is a great wonder that Krishna, being impartial, is fully partial to his devotees. So for the devotees, Krishna annihilates all their karma, their desires for karma, and their ignorance. So despite Krishna's impartiality, his partiality to his devotees is a matter of great marvel. It's a great wonder. Because philosophically it's described in Gita, Samaham Sarvabhuteshu Nadvesha Me Siyapriya. And Krishna says, I'm not envious of anyone. I'm not partial to anyone. But I'm personal also. That if someone personally approaches me and tries to please me and make me happy by his actions and activities, then naturally it is the nature of love that I become inclined to them. So Krishna is not a machine, he's a supreme personality of Godhead. This is a very significant verse, especially the third line, because perfection of Krishna consciousness is summarized here. Karmani nirda hati kintu chabakti bhajam. Hati means to destroy. Karmani nirda hati kintu bhakti bhajam. So the idea is that bhakti is such a special activity that it can annihilate and destroy one's karma. Any type of karmic activities or yoga or gyan or meditation, it will simply elevate one to some position within the material realm, which they will have to fall from and again move in the material energy, birth and death. But bhakti is so special that the Lord Himself personally cleanses the heart of the bhakta. Jiva Goswami's commentary, he says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead administers the law of impartiality for all jiva souls. He compares it to rain falling equally. So when rain falls, it falls on the fields, it falls on the house of the poor man, it falls on the house of the rich man. It doesn't discriminate. So Krishna's mercy is equal to everyone, but at the same time he favors his devotees, which is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 9:29. It's good for us. It's good that he does, because that is our only hope, is by trying to become the devotees of the Lord, we can hope we can be guaranteed of his reciprocation, because he promises that. That whoever renders service unto me in devotion as a friend is in me, and I am also a friend to him. So generally, that type of friendship is not, someone might say, well, I'm a devotee, but we may be casual devotees, not even really devotees, or mostly devotees of karma. We're devotees of our karma and our gyan, and trying to be devotees. But generally, as Jiva Goswami mentions, this verse applies to the Ananya Bhakt, Ananyas Chintyantamam, 9:22. And those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So he cites this as the example of someone who's totally surrendered to Krishna, then they get this reciprocation of Krishna cleansing their souls. That's why Prabhupada said you can become Krishna conscious in a minute or many, many lifetimes. Because if we surrender completely, then Krishna surrenders completely. And when we surrender and he reciprocates, then we become totally cleansed, and there's no more karma to propel us into another body. So another translation of the verse. Whether one may be the tiny insect Indragopa, which I described before, or the great king of heaven Indra, Krishna impartially awards all souls on the path of karma the fruits befitting their deeds. As they say in the Bible, as you sow, so shall you reap. If you plant wheat, then you will harvest wheat. If you plant rice, you'll harvest rice. So if you engage in sinful activities, you will get the fruit of sin in reaction. Yet it is a wonder, it's so wonderful, that Krishna burns at the root all the karma of souls who adore him. I worship that Lord. So this verse explains how we can get free from karma. In this previous verse, in 53, we heard about the Varnashram Dharma. So Varnashram Dharma, it's like the wheel of karma. One kind of moves up and down within the material universe, being rewarded and punished for his particular activities. But this verse, Krishna is explaining, Lord Brahma is explaining how to get out of that cycle. Karmani nirdahati bhakti bhajan. By bhakti bhajan, one can get out of that cycle of karma. So this verse is called Shastra Praman for the power of bhakti or devotional service. This is often quoted when one is glorifying the process of devotional service in bhakti. And of course, this is one of the prerequisites for one to take up sadhana, is to have faith in the process, to have faith in bhakti. Because there are many paths and ways of perfection and which have different goals. So when we say that we have difficulty with our faith, one principle is we have difficulty with faith in the shastras. So the shastras explain these principles of yoga. So we may not have complete faith. How is it possible bhakti does this? But this is, faith means that when you read the shastras, you believe it. You believe Lord Brahma, you believe Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, and you accept it. And you accept it in a very deep and full way. Then when you surrender and perform bhakti properly, then you see the results, that your heart does become cleansed, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. So this is a very strong verse from Lord Brahma giving evidence about the power of devotion, bhakti bhajan. This verse stresses the need and value of pure devotional service, by which the devotee becomes free from karma. So one might ask, well, how does it work? Observing the limbs of devotion, how does it purify us from our karma? Hearing, chanting, remembering. So what is described is that we sin in previous life, it creates so many bijas, so many seeds in the heart, which are desire seeds. And one who doesn't have any karma in that department, he won't have any desire seeds. You see, some people, that it is natural for them never to overeat. They just eat to maintain, and that's sufficient. Whereas another person, they're struggling every day after day with so much eating desires. Or you can say eating desires, because desires to eat are eating them. Because in previous life they were very much involved with eating, the action of eating, which creates the seed of desire to do the activity again. So what happens is we have a stockpile of seeds due to our previous activities. Karma fall. Fall means the fruits of our karma. Well, inside a fruit there are seeds, right? So the seeds will fructify, they will also grow and produce fruits. And so we have to experience in this life the fruits of all those seeds that we've planted. And then we have to taste them, bitter or sweet. Our sinful activities are called papa bij, and our good activities are called punya bij. And they produce good results, tasty sweet results, and bitter poisonous results. So that the performance of bhakti, that's what it says. It says that the actual seeds from the mind are fried out. They're actually burned up. As one practices bhakti, he sees that as a karmi, he had so many, it was so difficult for him to do one particular activity, say, control his tongue. But after a short time practicing bhakti, 1 year or 2 years, then it's not difficult. And the reason it's not difficult, because so many thousands and thousands of his desires pushing him to enjoy his tongue have been eliminated by the process of bhakti. So due to the sinful activities in previous life and in this life, conditioned souls have many desires for sinful activity in the shape of lusty desires, greedy desires, and so on. Srimad Bhagavatam describes that lust is the real heart disease. especially in this modern age of degradation and irreligion. But so what I want to explain here is that there's 9 forms of devotional service, and one of them is shravanam, just by hearing. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains that by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, especially the pastimes of Vrindavan, which are so rich with the highest mellow of devotion, Madhurya Ras and Vatsalya Ras and Sakya Ras in Vrindavan, that has such power that when one hears the pastimes of the Lord, that hearing creates an influence in the mind and heart, where the mind and heart start to get filled up with that, with, you can say, reflections from that type of prema, so called parabhakti. There's one verse in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 33, verse 39. Kriditam vrajabadu bir idam chavishno shadanvitanu shriniyad attavarnayadhya bhaktim param bhagavati pratilabhya kama. So this is a very significant verse from the Bhagavatam. The beginning, we study Bhagavad Gita. When we read Bhagavad Gita, then we come to 18th chapter in the 54th verse, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Nasochati Nakankshati, Samasarveshu Bhuteshu, Mad Bhaktim Lavate Param. So when we read the Bhagavad Gita, what does it say? It says that one situated in a transcendental position, 1854. Beyond the contamination of 3 modes of material nature, fully satisfied in itself, he doesn't hanker or lament for anything. He looks equally upon all living entities. Then what happens? He attains parabhakti unto Krishna. Mad bhaktim labhate param. This is 1854. Mad bhaktim labhate param. Labhate means he attains. Mad bhakti labhate param. Bhakti param. Parabhakti. My parabhakti. So in Gita, Krishna says, first you have to come to the platform where you're not hankering anymore. Hankering for material things, desiring material things, you're not lamenting anymore. And you're situated on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, you're situated on the Hambrahmasmi platform. And you're extremely joyful by that realization. Then, first that condition, then parabhakti. Right? So that's Gita, but then we read the Bhagavatam and Shuka Muni is giving us a completely different benediction. He's saying first parabhakti enters the heart. Parabhakti means, para means the topmost transcendental form of bhakti, which means prema bhakti, braja prema bhakti. He's saying first, you're a lusty man, you're a hankering man, you're a lamenting man, you're not a Brahma-Bhuta man, you're not Brahman-realized, you're not Prasanatman, you're not joyful. You're actually a diseased man. Rid rogam kaman. You're a diseased man. You have the disease of lust in your heart. You're a materialistic man. But what will happen with you, first prema, parabhakti, braja prema will enter your heart, and it will dance in your heart, and it will create an influence in your heart. It will shine in your heart, even in a reflected form. And that reflected form will destroy all your lust, and all your greed, and all your hankering and lamenting, and all your materiality, and all your diseased condition. And you'll become the topmost devotee of the Lord. So it's just the opposite of Gita. So which one's right? They're both right. Obviously, they're both right. And it depends on the level of faith. That's why Shuka Muni, those who have faith in Shastra, they will have faith in all the Shastras when their faith is developed. But some people say, they'll read the Bhagavatam, and they say, how is that possible? It sounds like it must be like the Gita first. First, you have to become totally pure, free from all materiality, free from all hankering, lamenting, lust, anger, greed, everything, and then you're totally pure and you're on a spiritual platform, you're a liberated soul, then you can attain love for Krishna. I believe that. That's the way it is. So I don't know, I don't want to read these other things. I don't believe this. So that's okay. That's a level of faith. But we'll see that this verse 54 is talking about karmani nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. By bhakti bhajan, karmani nirdhati, the desire seeds are destroyed from the heart. So many lusty desires are there. So by doing bhakti bhajan, it destroys the lust. So the one form of bhakti bhajan is Hari Lila Katamritam. Shravanam, hearing Hari Lila, Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu Smaranam. So hearing the pastimes of the Lord. So after Sukamuni describes the rasa dance in 10th canto, then he gives this verse, 10:33-39. He said, even a materialistic man was very, very much in maya, full of karmic desires. He's actually diseased. He's just a lusty fool. If he hears this Ras Lila pastime, which is so surcharged with the topmost degree of Krishna Prema, Madhurya Prema, then he will very quickly become cured of lust and will become a topmost devotee of the Lord and come to the platform of Krishna Prema. So this is a benediction, this is a blessing given by Shukamuni, and it's part of the Shastras, it's a Bhagavatam verse. But then whether or not this will work with you depends on several factors, which are described in the purport to that verse. So he says, Vikriditam Brajabadu Bir Hidam Chavishno Shradanviton Nu Shriniyat Patavaniyadya Bhaktim Param Bhagavate Pratilabhyakamam. He says, Bhaktim Param Bhagavati, Bhagavat Bhakti, Para Bhakti to Lord Krishna, Pratilabhyate, will be acquired step after step, little by little by little. The more you read, the more you study, the more you hear submissively, the more it wants your heart. Then what happens? Then kamam ridrogam apihinoti achiveni dira. So apihinoti is the same as nirdahati. It means that this disease of lust will be destroyed. So the translation again is, a dira, a sober person, who in the beginning faithfully and continuously hears from his guru narrations about Krishna's unprecedented rasa dance with the gopis of Vrindavan, and later describes those pastimes, very soon attains para bhakti or prema bhakti for the Supreme Lord, and thus becomes competent to quickly dispel the heart disease of lust. So this is a benediction upon all the hearers of Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami is giving that. It is actually a great thing. It's a great blessing. We go to saintly persons and we ask for ashirvad. We ask for blessings. Please give me blessings. Give me a benediction. Please bless me with attraction for the holy name. Please bless me with Krishna Prema. And so, well, just like you go to a doctor, when you go to a doctor and you're sick, you say, please bless me with health. Right? That's the blessing you want from him. Give me some medicine, give me some powder, give me some liquid, give me some crack in the back, or give me something to make me feel better, to make me feel healthy. Give me your blessings. So Bhagavatam is a book full of blessings. It's a book full of benedictions. And there's no greater rishi or devotee than Shukamuni. And he's very kindly sprinkled benedictions throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. You may read chapter after chapter after chapter, after verse after verse after verse, and there's no blessings, no benedictions. Just like you may go to a saintly person day after day after day after day, month after month and serve them, and they doesn't appear that they're giving you any big benedictions or big blessings. But they, of course, if we're continuing to advance in the cause of bhakti, then that is the result of kripa, ahoita kripa. So occasionally a devotee will give a special blessing to someone. So this is the case with this verse of Bhagavatam. Shukamuni, after reading so much, we go through so many chapters of Anartha killing and demon killing, Trinavartan, Shakatasura, and Putana. And there's no benedictions. Just so many chapters after chapters after chapters. If you read 10th canto, which we're reading in class. And then all these anarthas, and then he gets to the Ras Lila, then he gives a benediction. So the Ras Lila has such tremendous potency that simply by hearing it, one quickly attains prema bhakti to Krishna and destroys the disease of lust in the heart. So that's basically it. That our cause of our sojourn in a material world is a disease called lust. And Shukamuni is giving a great benediction. Oh, this is your disease? Lust? Well, then, here's the medicine. But we have to understand what is the qualification for one to receive this medicine. Because a baby cannot take the medicine of an adult. It will not work. It might even kill. An adult's portion of medicine may kill a sensitive, tender baby. So this word, Shraddha Anvito, means that one hears with firm faith, Shraddha Anvito, which means that one fully believes in and trusts the words of the Shastras. And also he hears constantly the subject matter. So this word, Shraddha Anvito, this is significant because actually in Kali Yuga, no one trusts anybody. No one trusts anybody in Kali Yuga because everyone's a cheater. Everyone's cheating and everyone knows themselves. Everyone knows that they themselves are dishonest and they're cheaters. So they assume that everybody else is dishonest and is also a cheater. It takes one to know one. So therefore we have a great distrust. We don't believe the Shastra. That is part of the disease of Kali Yuga. We say, well, yeah, I mean, I believe this part, but not this part. When he says we didn't go to the moon and all that stuff, I mean, wait a minute. I mean, I can't accept that. I have a science background. I can accept this thing about meditation, but when it talks about the structure of the universe and the Bhagavatam, I reject that. I don't believe it. I don't trust it. So this is our nature. Doubting Thomas, as they say in Christianity. Doubting. Thomas was doubting. But one who fully believes and actually trusts, he trusts the words of Shastra. The Shukamuni is not lying, he's not cheating, he's not trying to, you know, just exaggerate. It's not hyperbole, simply to enthuse people to buy the product. Oh, this is a really great tape player, it does everything. And you get all jacked up about it. And he lies, tells 10 lies and 5 true things, and you get excited and you buy the product. So it's not that the scriptures are trying to get you excited about bhakti and trying to get you all jazzed up about devotion so that you practice it and then you don't get anything or there's really nothing there. That's not their idea. They're telling the fact. So that's one point. Then the verse says the word atavarnayed. Vishwanath explains, after continually hearing Rasa Lila and other special pastimes, one will personally describe these pastimes and remember those pastimes. So, the first line, or this line, is that Sharanviton Shriniyad Atavarnayad Gya. Varna means classifications or groups or types. So it means that you hear with faith and trust repeatedly, and then you repeat it and remember. Hearing, chanting, remembering. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. This is what's meant by this first line. You hear repeatedly with faith, you chant and remember and delight in. Then it says, parabhakti means, it says, bhaktim param means parabhakti. That is the topmost form of devotion, parabhakti, or the prema bhakti of the Braja Gopis. Prati labhya means it's repeatedly obtained. In other words, first prema bhakti is obtained within the heart, then quickly we give up the heart disease. So it may come, it comes in installments. Prema bhakti comes in installments. You read a little bit, and then you maybe speak a little bit and remember a little bit, then little drops start to accumulate in your heart. And as more drops accumulate, as more drops of prema accumulate, just like if you have a glass of black ink and you take some milk with an eyedropper and start dropping drops of milk inside the cup of black ink. So after some time you drop some drops in of milk into the ink and it looks like the milk merges in the ink and gets lost. Doesn't it? You drop a few drops of milk, white milk and black ink, it gets merged, but it's there. It's still there. And you drop some more drops, pop, 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 pop. Then you look and say, oh, look, there's some white on the bottom. The milk has fallen to the bottom and it's mixing up there. On the bottom of this black cup of ink, there's a little tiny, like, cloudy color, faint white. And you drop more drops, more drops, more drops, more drops, more drops, more drops. And what happens? All the ink is dissipated and replaced by the prema. So lust is the ridrogam, is the disease. The ink is compared to the lust in the heart, ridrogam, kamam, ridrogam. And the prema is compared to the milk. And the prema comes in the form of Hari Lila Shravan, hearing the pastimes of Hari. So in the beginning you say, hey, I read the Ras Lila 10 times, and I'm not a pure devotee. Gee whiz. Bhagavatam's not right. I don't believe it. So that's another thing where it's highly impatient. You know, at least read it 108 times if you want to put a number on it. Well, you read it, but you read it with half-baked faith. You say, well, maybe it's true. Anyway, let me try and see if it works. I don't really believe it, but maybe it's true. I don't really believe it, what he's saying. But maybe it's true. I don't want to miss out in case it is true. So let me read it once. I read it. Nothing, big deal. Nothing happened. I'll read it again. Well, I read it twice. Still nothing happened. So like that. Yayatamam prapadyante, as you surrender to Krishna, rewards you accordingly. But the analogy is quite appropriate. And it's, I don't know where it came from, but it's there. So it seems to fit. So as they say, if the shoe fits, wear it. So if the analogy works, then use it. So we may have to, it may take some time of dropping, you know, if you're only dropping, like reading Ras Lila once every 27 years, you know, as a devotee, every 20 years you read the Ras Lila chapters, 5 chapters Ras Lila. So you're only putting a few drops of water in your black heart, the cup of black ink which represents the lust in your heart, then naturally it'll take some time to show any result. But if you take, like, you have a cup of, you know, you have 1 liter of milk, and a 200 gram cup of ink, you start pouring in that milk, it's in no time that heart's going to be white. So one who absorbs himself, that's why the word is there, shara anvita means repeatedly, with faith. So prati labhya means repeated, that it's repeatedly obtained, that one gets prema more and more and more. Ridrogam kamam means the heart disease of lust, but it also implies all the other diseases of the heart. They're all like little brothers and sisters. You know, the older brother is lust, then greed, anger, envy, those are little family, little kids, little... Lust is the main one. apahinoti means renunciation of lusty desires from the heart. So this verse indicates 10:33-39 in Bhagavatam. Though lust and other sinful desires in the form of karma bijas still remain in the heart, by bhakti bhajan, or first by hearing about this pastimes, prema bhakti first enters the heart via the process of bhakti bhajan, specifically Hari Lila Shravanam, hearing the pastimes of the Lord. And by the extraordinary influence of this prema and purifying power, it destroys all the sins to the root. In other words, hearing and reciting the Rasa Lila pastimes of the Lord possesses astonishing power that the lust in the heart of the faithful sadhaka is destroyed and he attains prema. Though these two things are taking place simultaneously, the influence of prema manifests first, and through its effect, all lusty desires are dissipated. So in the last word of the verse is dhira. Dhira means a sober person or a pandit who is learned in the shastra. One who refuses to accept the claim of this verse and he thinks, no, as long as the disease of lust in his heart is there in the heart, it's impossible for prema to enter. So someone who thinks like that, Vishwanath Chakravarti says, he is possessed of an atheistic temperament. And one who is free from such a foolish attitude is called dhira. So only those who have firm faith in the shastras are dhira. Those who have no faith in the statements of shastras, such as this in the Bhagavatam, they are atheistic and simultaneously offenders to the holy name. Right? The third offense is... fourth offense is the blasting the Vedic literatures. So if you don't have faith or trust the statements of the Vedas, that's a nama-parad. So you're not in good shape. So it's impossible. An aparadi can never attain prema. So this is a very wonderful situation here, a great benediction from the Lord. We can understand how powerful this bhakti process is, which 54th verse of the Brahma Samhita is glorifying, that simply by bhakti that all the karma is destroyed at the root. So the Bhagavatam is such a powerful scripture. It's described as the Amala Puranam, Paramahamsa Samhitam. It's the topmost book of law, and it's completely pure. And if we contact the Bhagavatam, we'll get so much purity. Just like now we're in 10th canto of Bhagavatam, so this is like a great fortune for us. After 25 years, we've come to the 10th canto, his servant. So we sometimes see the most degraded and unqualified person is not following any kinds of rules and regulations. In fact, they're completely sinful. They get the mercy. They get bhakti. Bhakti will manifest in them. So it's not any way the truth that first you have to become purified of all anarthas and totally pure and Brahma-Bhuta platform before one can attain bhakti. Bhakti sometimes enters the heart even of the most fallen, worst sinner. We see in the lives of the 12 Alawars in South India, Yamunacharya and Andal and others, they were the forerunners of the bhakti movement about 1400 years ago. They were the great bhakti saints of Tamil Nadu, the Alawars. And some of them were murderers and thieves and everything. But somehow they got the mercy of Krishna through Guru, and they were given bhakti. Bhakti agreed to enter their hearts and dance there and totally transform them. So this point about the independent nature of bhakti is also discussed in the 10th canto, chapter 47, Brahmar Gita, verse 59. There's a nice purport by Vishnu Chakravartipad, where he describes the independent nature of Bhakti Devi. In other words, any fallen rascal, sinful person, he may get the fortune, he may get the mercy, and become a great devotee of the Lord. So Vishwanath explains his purport. The gopis achieved the perfection of pure love for Krishna. Krishna awards his blessings, and he can award his blessings, even to an ignorant worshipper. Just like medicine works even when taken by one who's ignorant of its ingredients. So he said, Bhakti Devi may manifest. Well, that's actually the verse. That's what the verse says. The gopis achieve perfection, pure love for Krishna. Gopis, they didn't do anything. They didn't try to purify themselves. They just loved Krishna. They were just mad after Krishna. They just wanted to please Krishna and serve Krishna. So they were, they didn't understand anything about how it works, how attachment to Krishna works, or how love for Krishna works. But they simply loved Krishna, were attached to Krishna, and by that attachment, automatically everything else got cut off. Their family attachments, loka dharma, and shyness, and all everything else immediately was destroyed. They didn't have to go through all the varnas and all the ashramas and go through the gradual process of renunciation, detachment from family and friends and body by studying karma and executing the principles of gyan and varnashram dharma. They took the medicine of Krishna rag, attached to Krishna, and everything else was taken care of. So it's like a child. He's sick. He has so many problems and manifestations of sickness. He takes the medicine, it's all gone automatically. He simply does one thing. So this is the nature of bhakti, how special and powerful it is. So Vishwanath explains that Bhakti Devi may manifest even in the most condemned or sinful persons. Bhakti Devi causes fallen persons to attain all good qualities and attain the highest association. The opinion that Bhakti Devi enters the heart only after all anarthas and aparads and lusts and other diseases of the heart are eradicated is not correct. Contrary to that, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord or the devotees of the Lord, or by faithfully executing sadhana bhakti, sadhana of and bhajan, this rare bhakti enters the heart first, and then all the anarthas are automatically dissipated. So what's an example of that? The famous one is Jagai Madhai. They were gone. They were really far gone. But Nityananda, he injected his prema. He gave them his love. So they had devotion. By the mercy, causes mercy of Nityananda, bhakti entered their heart. They had devotion for Nitai, and they surrendered. When Gauranga pulled his chakra out to kill them, they prayed, "Oh Nitai, please, please, oh Nitai." So they showed devotion, bhakti, Nityananda bhakti. They prayed. Vandana means bhakti. They prayed sincerely. Very sincerely, in heartfelt prayers, please save us. So just a touch of bhakti, just a touch of bhakti they manifested, and then everything was dissolved, everything was purified. So the conclusion is, in the heart of sadhakas who firmly believe in the statements of shastras, gurus, and Vaishnavas, they are eligible to hear Hari Leela Katha of Bhagavatam, which is saturated with ras. Only in the hearts of such faithful devotees does prema or bhakti devi manifest its influence as a result of hearing Leela Katha. Thereafter, lust and all evils present in the heart of the devotee are destroyed at the root. Karmani nirdahati kintu jabhakti bhajam. So this is the description of one limb of bhakti, how powerful one limb of bhakti is, hearing the pastimes of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam. One can destroy all the karma from his heart. Any questions? Well, the Shastras say that he never gave Diksha to anyone. So we have to repeat what the Acharyas say, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never gave Diksha to anyone. Diksha means initiation. But certainly any contact with Lord Chaitanya purifies one of sins. So he showed that principle by taking the sins from Jagai and Madhai, and they were engaged in devotional service, serving the Vaishnavas at the bathing ghat, and they attained perfection. Because, in other words, you might say that when one contacts directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they get all benediction. Demons that contact Krishna get Brahmasayuja Mukti. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives more than Sayuja Mukti, he is Prem. So he gave them Prem, but he didn't initiate them. Basically, how you can understand it. They were liberated, and they attained Prema. But at the same time, he didn't sit down and give them Diksha. You won't find anywhere in any scripture description of any that Lord Chaitanya gave Diksha to anyone. But that pastime is there, of how he accepted a tulsi leaf from their hands and his body turned black to indicate that he absorbed all their sins. And Krishna says that. This is the proof of the verse in the Gita, Sarvadharan Pritya Mamekam Sharanam Braja. You surrender unto me, I take all your sins. Sarva Papibhyo, Moksha. So, not only Jagai and Madhai, but anyone who contacts Lord Chaitanya becomes free from all their sins. If you chant the Panchatattva Mantra, you become free from all your sins. If you chant Gauranga Nam, you become free from all your sins. You may not be initiated, but you become free from all your sins. And if Lord Chaitanya was personally there, then you would get liberated, you would get prema. But what you'll get by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's name is liberated from all your sins, and then a chance to meet Guru and do bhakti bhajan, just like a Jamil. He chanted Namavas, he got liberated from all his sins, then he went to Hardwar and he did bhakti bhajan. Any other questions? Raghunath Das Goswami's Diksha Gurus, Yadananda and Acharya, all of them have their different gurus are there. Their Shiksha, they took Shiksha from Lord Chaitanya, no doubt about that. Shiksha means instructions. And they were empowered by Lord Chaitanya, he embraced them. But they have their own Diksha Gurus and Diksha lines. You won't find anywhere Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, anywhere Lord Chaitanya gave Diksha to anyone. Shiksha he gave. Any other question? If you may hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, and bhakti may not come. If you chant with offenses and hear with offenses, there's the Abhideya Tattva means to know how to do bhakti. You may do bhakti for 100 lifetimes incorrectly and not get bhakti. Where the goal, that the prayojana is bhakti. We say sadhana bhakti, that's devotion and practice. It's not devotion. Then there's bhava bhakti, that's actual bhakti. Then there's prema bhakti. So we may practice for hundreds of lifetimes and not come to the platform of bhava, because our practice, our hearing, chanting, etc. is full of aparadhas and ignorance, incorrect practice and offenses. So therefore Bhakti Devi will withhold herself. Bhakti is personal. It's the personal energy of the Lord. But we have to start somewhere. It's not that we do nothing and hope for the best. Do nothing and maybe bhakti will just kind of come my way. But Krishna says, as you surrender, so we're surrendering and performing Vaidhi sadhana or Raganuga sadhana. It's a sadhana. It's bhakti in practice. so therefore there's so many offenses to be considered, aparads, and so much ignorance to be removed. So when all the aparads are removed and all the ignorance is removed, or before that, it's up to her. But the best thing to do is be in line, to be following sadhana bhakti. And then when the guru is pleased, because bhakti is personal. So that's why the whole first, there's 64 limbs of bhakti. The first four, the first six are all about guru. Guru Pada Shraya, surrender to guru, take initiation from guru, serve guru, hear from guru, learn, you know, everything. So why is that? Because he's bhakti. Bhakti's with him. So when he's pleased, even in the beginning, he'll shower his mercy on you, and then bhakti will come to you. So it's a personal reciprocation.